an idea for NIL that will rock your world. And
when will the Cleveland media finally learn how to cover a winner? How will the fans learn how to root for a winner?
It's all coming up in the Emerging Podcast Scene presented by Extend Technologies.
Think about that.
The first 4 hours were simply in a moose-boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
How good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Hello, Tone.
Hello, Kenny. What a fun day.
Was it?
I had blast. Anyway, you know, it is kind of offensive at times when people say, I know we got a lot to get to. It's offensive at times when people say, you guys don't know how to cover a winner. You guys are so obsessed with drama. Cleveland media, it's not just us. I'm saying Cleveland media does not know how to cover a winner. And I'm like, well, I covered a national championship at Ohio State. I covered a Cavs championship.
Yeah, the Cavs were winners for a decade.
The Guardians went to the World Series. Like, yeah. Why do you think, what's different? What's hard to be excited about a team? I think it was probably in response to us having a debate about quarterback play.
So, but the problem is with football, unlike any of those other sports, all those other sports, save for maybe an NBA Finals game, you don't break down game to game, play to play, situation to situation. You just go, it was good or it was bad, and who needs to be better? There's not specific moments. So even in a win against your hated rival, there are still moments that you go, we could have been better there. Here's why we could have been better, because we have a whole week. We have a whole week.
I don't know if people know how to root for a winner.
That is interesting, because you bring that up, and we talked to somebody who was in the stadium on Sunday, and I said, how was it? They said, unbelievable, coming out of the tunnel. It was Chubb. It was Jim Donovan. It was a chaotic scene.
Yeah.
People were pumped. They didn't sell their tickets. They held on. Very few Steeler fans in attendance, from what I hear.
Most of the people I know, if they took a friend, they were also a Browns fan. I only know one.
Except for one. So it was crazy. And then that same individual said, as unbelievable as the atmosphere was, they said after that touchdown run by Pittsburgh, everybody thought they were going to lose. And it was quiet. And it was not a home field advantage at that point. And I thought to myself, like, when is that going to change? Has this team won enough this way for you to start thinking the field goals are going in? That the defense will get off the field on third down? That the offense will do just enough?
I think it was a win like that that had to happen to start to change people's ideas on that. You know, because I had somebody, we were talking about something yesterday. And I want to find the reply I had to somebody about it, because I thought about this and I didn't bring it up to you. Here we are. Yesterday during the show, I had said, no, this is right after the show, actually. I said, I like DTR. He's a great kid. And with backups, I do think QB wins is a stat. I asked myself, did they win in spite of him? I don't think that that was the case yesterday. I think DTR should keep the job until he proves he can't do it, whether it be next week or the rest of the year. And Alpha Male tweets at me, can't we just enjoy 7-3? So there's nothing stopping us from enjoying 7-3. We can enjoy 7-3. Both these things can be true. We can enjoy 7-3, but we can also think critically of what's going to happen in the future as well. And that's what I think a lot of people...
Yeah, we don't have Patrick Mahomes where that's just not a conversation they have on radio in Kansas City.
I think we went through this, though, as well in 2020, where there was, can we enjoy this game as if we're never going to play? I mean, we are treating these games as if they're bowl games. And, like, we won and the season's over for a while. And then, like, by Thursday, people are ready to talk about the next game. But they do not want to hear anything else other than celebration. And I'm going, well, we got to get to the playoffs, and everybody's excited. Nobody's saying nobody here in the show is saying Kevin Stefanski should be let go and he's not working.
That
and
stuff's finally over.
We've had conversations here. So I think that, you know, we got to it's not about whether or not we know how to cover a winner. The people listening to us have, when's the last time they've listened to a winner on the radio with the Browns? It's been a while. They had one time in a year, and I think for some people, I think they kind of felt like they were robbing a bank. I hate to keep overusing that analogy. That'll be the last time I do it. I think they felt like they were getting away with something, and then these last 2 years have been a slog and very emotional and dramatic and not fun. And now this year, again, we ended the show. I said that this is, I think, the best culture they've had in quite a while. And you think about all the things that they've already had to go through.
And you know me. Normally, I'd be rolling my eyes. Did I roll my eyes when you said that?
I think 11 years, this is the best culture I've ever been around. And I see them. And first off, it is a locker room that has a lot of good guys in it. And I think that it's cultivated a very nice culture with them. Winning helps. But I don't think that if they lose, I don't think it started the tailspin possibilities. Like, you have the whole Pittsburgh thing going on there. I thought that Deontay Johnson might have went after Matt Canada. Apparently, there's been some people who told me in Pittsburgh it might have been his wide receiver coach.
Who we know.
Yeah, Frisman Jackson. Mm-hmm. So that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying, like, I don't want one win to all of a sudden rot away a team, because I find myself, if I were in Pittsburgh, I find myself saying a lot of things about the Browns where I go, guys, we're 6-4. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed, like, guys, the Browns are 3-2. The Browns are 3-1. They're, like, guys, knock it off. Let's cool it. Let's all cool it. But also there's going to be a time where I think we have to examine what's more to come. Like, Bobby Carpenter kind of dropped that bombshell about the NCAA and Jim Harbaugh with us today. But I was going to bring up, because my whole thing is make the playoffs. And there's plenty of guys out there. You need to demand more. I'm just trying to be realistic here. That's what I'm trying to do. So I think that there is a tug and pull over, let's just enjoy this, let's just enjoy that. It's like, well, yeah, we are enjoying it. No one's not enjoying this. Everybody enjoys winning, but everybody's also trying to find ways to get better.
Yeah, they didn't play a perfect game. The Browns admitted that after the game. They actually specifically said, we didn't play perfect.
Joku was on a jugs machine in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
On Sunday night.
And these guys are trying to get better. They know that offensively it has to get a lot better. Now, they're not going to be playing Pittsburgh's defense every week. But, I don't know, we've seen enough games from the Browns. Isn't this kind of the offense? Like, it's going to be tough for them to score a ton of points. They're not going to – they're going to have some games where they run the football well. And I'm really intrigued this week. And, you know, it's going to be a short week for us because of the holiday and everything. You know, this Denver game would be really interesting to break down because, by the numbers, Denver might be the worst defense in football.
Yeah.
However, the eye test the last 4 weeks, Denver's defense looks totally different. And they're getting takeaways. And Russell Wilson is dinking and dunking his way into good football plays, not putting them in really tough spots. How's that going to look against the Browns defense? They're going to get rid of the ball quick. You know, just like we got rid of the ball
quick
last week.
This game might end up being a champion's pose for Tone about Sean Payton.
I don't want it to be. No. I'm liking Stefanski. I'm even on board. I mean, you know, I did say, like, there's some extension talk. And earlier in the year, I'm like, why would we extend him? What's the rush? Now I'm like, yeah, extend him. You can always get out of contracts. I mean, what's the difference?
Lima knows, man.
I know. Nah. So what's the difference? Just get – it would, I think – kind of end some of the questions about that stuff. Just in
I do,
almost,
but I don't.
Almost a superficial way, but
because in the NFL, buyouts don't matter.
They don't count.
Like, remember the whole Jimbo Fisher thing? $76 million.
What about the locker room? Does that do anything in the locker room?
Yeah, I think it does.
Like, he is the guy. You can roll your eyes at his post game speeches. You know, he showed a little more fire this week. But those players, I think, going through what they've gone through.
Boy, I should ask people. Sorry, let's finish your sentence.
No, that I think they...
I wasn't even looking at you.
They might not have been behind Stefanski earlier in the year because they hadn't been through it. Now they've been through it, and that brings a team together.
Can you become a motivating factor over time?
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to be, you know, any
Fire
of the...
Fire and Brimstone, yeah. Bobby Knight.
No, yeah, he's not Jerry Glanville.
Yeah, but this week's, like, I know you guys just hear the audio, right? I watch those videos.
I saw the video.
His body posture and all that was not someone who was just doing something to sound like
he's excited.
That was actual.
Yeah.
That was almost like a holy bleep, we won this game. I can't, you know, like.
He's excited.
We're putting it together type of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys, they've beaten the 49ers. They've beaten the Steelers and the Ravens in consecutive weeks. They're doing things. They crushed Joe Burrow in the opener. They're doing things they just have never done before. And they've done them all in a similar way, but they found a way to do it no matter what. And that has, I really think, a staying power. And so getting back to the original thing, I think the fans are going to learn. I think the fans are going to have that expectation that the other shoe's not going to drop this time. This team's making the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're going to make the playoffs. And now, hell, let's get crazy. Let's win the division. They shouldn't win the division. They shouldn't. You got Lamar Jackson over there. He's been pretty good all year. You shouldn't win the division. But now, why not? And, you know, he was limping around that last game. Crazier things have happened.
I just don't want to demand those things. I can dare to dream. I don't want to demand them. I think that people start to put a lot of unnecessary thoughts into their own head by demanding those things. I know people want to demand excellence, but I also want to be realistic about that stuff.
I like that. Dare to dream.
Also, tomorrow, I want to do a segment. I don't know what we're going to call it. Maybe football hack segment. I have no idea. The safety issue and your issue with spikes. Spikes. And not like feet spikes, spiking the football. Don't explain
it. It's a revelation.
I think this is very good.
I had never thought about this until watching a few different games on Sunday. And I'm like, you know what? I think a rule needs to change in the NFL.
I want to do that tomorrow. Can I share with you a crazy-ass NIL story?
A nil but theory?
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, because we do talk a lot of college football here. Two things. I don't like the beating up. I hope somebody hears this that is close to him, because I don't want to sit there and get weird. He's still a college kid, and I don't, you know, young people and stuff like that. I don't, you know, it's weird. Hey, how you doing? You know what I mean? Drew Aller, I feel I need to come to his defense. I don't like talking about young people, and I don't like talking about high school players. But now that he's a college player, I can talk about the first time I saw Drew Aller. I've used this analogy for Josh Allen. His passes look like a drunk driver. And I'll never forget Bernie Kosar saying, hey, you got to watch this kid. This kid's got something here. He can spin it, you know, that type of thing. And I went out there, and you could tell he had an arm. But you could also tell there was definitely something that needed to be brought in and refined. And I do not like, there are plenty of people, whether they think James Franklin is overrated, even though he got Vanderbilt off their ass. I got to admit, James Franklin's a good coach. I know a lot of people don't like him. I do think his offense is archaic, but he got Vanderbilt off their ass, and I think he's done a remarkable job at Penn State, considering. They lost to Ohio State and Michigan. They are not Ohio State and Michigan. No. I think there are a lot of people who are upset with Penn State because they thought that this was a year that they could go after Ohio State or Michigan or both. And
they had the defense
and I was one of those people that thought that they had a puncher's chance, and I was wrong. They got beat up by Ohio State. Their defense went after them. It wasn't that bad of a score, just like it wasn't that bad of a score against Michigan. But in both cases, both defenses teed off. And I think Drew Aller, just because he's not a guy who gets out there and he played last year as a true freshman a little bit, his sophomore year just sets the world on fire, doesn't mean all of a sudden to throw him aside. I don't believe that. I do believe I would like them to open some things up. I think he's got a big arm. But how many quarterbacks have truly flourished against Ohio State or Michigan? How many? None. Who's giving him fits?
Man.
Has anybody given, like Tua's brother. Everybody's talking about him. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Everybody's talking about Tua's brother because they just watched him, because nobody's watching Maryland football until they played Michigan. He's got some great passes. He also has some terrible passes.
He did have a bunch of terrible passes.
Terrible, like he throws a great deep ball and it's like, all right. It's Michigan. Mm-hmm. It's like, can we not understand? They are two of the four best teams in the country. And part of the reason is because they're both got stone cold defenses and great defensive lines. Like, come on. And I find myself getting all defensive over Drew Aller. Like, guys, I'm not saying he's going to be number one. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm saying just because we put something on Penn State doesn't mean I can't sit there, or doesn't mean I should sit there and try to hurry up the process.
But here's what
on a
happens.
Quarterback that has talent.
But this is happening with McCord at Ohio State. There are people in Columbus, and I've seen it. I'm on the boards. I read it. I have friends down there. I know we know people in the media down there. There are people that are just convinced that McCord is not the quarterback next year at Ohio State, that they're going to go in the portal.
Thank you for bringing this up because I have an interesting thought.
Well, that's why I wanted to get to it, because when you struggle now as a college quarterback, it's not, hey, you know, it's only your freshman year. And it's only your sophomore year. It's who's in the portal. Let's get somebody that we've seen go up against college. And look at when Michael Penix, I did a look at, when Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, he did.
Just did what he did, is having the season that he had, and Bo Nix having the season that they had, Jaden,
Daniels.
Yeah, yeah. That you have these quarterbacks that are transferring, and so if you're Ohio State, and you're a fan base of Ohio State, you're like, well, let's just go get one of those guys. Let's go get a guy that's proven it. Why do I have to wait and see what's behind door number two, or wait for some, you know, evolution of a quarterback? Why can't I just go get a guy I know is better right now? Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with that is, think about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, and I'm talking about not the Ohio State years, that first year at LSU.
It was a little.
It wasn't great. Like now, today, with transfer portal, they might have replaced him.
Like, I saw a guy.
Think about that, Kenny.
When I watched Drew Aller as a sophomore.
That's my new catchphrase.
I saw a guy where I went, I mean, he's got a lot of talent, but I didn't come away blown away. And then by this senior year, he blew everybody's doors off every week, Drew Aller at Medina High School. And I think you give him a little bit of time. I mean,
James Franklin have a little bit of time?
Oh, yes. James Franklin ain't going anywhere.
Okay,
that guy wins 10 games a year.
I don't mean it that way.
He keeps him in a New Year's six.
I don't mean it that way. The pressure
He gave Sean Clifford like a dozen years.
He did.
Sean Clifford played there as long as Brett Favre.
He loves these Ohio quarterbacks. The pressure of.
I don't even remember Sean Clifford's from Ohio.
It's down Cincinnati.
Okay. I forgot.
Go ahead. Swear to God, I did one of his high school games.
I'm not disputing you.
Am I wrong?
I did not know that. No, I'm saying I did not know.
Wasn't he Xavier?
I don't know if you did one of his games.
I don't know. Go ahead. What were you saying?
What was my catchphrase again?
Think about that.
Think about that, Kenny.
You tried to make, sounds good, catchphrase, and that didn't work.
All right. It's a progress.
Sean Clifford went to St. Xavier High School.
And Branson Wright just did a huge documentary that's going to be available about Southern Ohio football in the Queen City.
You know what? I'd like to watch that.
I don't know that
much about Cincinnati.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, high school football.
Urban Meyer coached down there.
Yes, he did. So I'm just making a little bit of a defense of Drew Aller. Like, not everybody. I don't want to turn him into... And frankly, I don't want to turn him into a JT Daniels figure. The guys who have just kind of fallen through the cracks.
Now, here's what I wonder.
Keaton Slovis, even though he got hurt.
What if they went to the portal? If you're Aller, do you go, all right, I'm out of here?
Yeah.
See, that is what's crazy about college football now.
Well, this is my
issue.
Then
it's the revolving door.
This is my thing. No, I'm workshopping this, all right?
This is where you do it. No better place to do it.
This is my NIL idea. Because, you know, this started on a conversation right now where you got coaches getting fired. Like, I was thinking of Syracuse yesterday. Dino Babers gets canned, right? Or Babers. Dino Babers gets canned. He's 62 years old, by the way. Yeah,
bye-bye, Babers.
Yeah. And Syracuse...
Throw out the Babers with the bathwater.
Syracuse... That should be how we end the podcast. Damn it. I want you to dump that so we can do no. Syracuse is a program. I have to think of these. I want to get a little deeper. Syracuse is a program that I think it was good when I was a kid, and then was
one of the worst under Greg Williams. Greg, former defensive coordinator in the NFL, Greg Robinson.
Yep. So I assume that they'd be good forever, and I started thinking about NIL, and now you have situations where. I don't want to say this on a podcast. I'm very encouraged about the future of a family friend's football team and their future. I think they got them right back on the right track, and I think next year could be a really nice year
for
them.
Could they have one Saturday? I didn't see much of that game.
You know what?
Low scoring.
The other team they played had a lot of big plays that got called back. They kind of out-athleted them. Plus the team that they have, remember, they got a lot of freshmen playing.
Yeah.
There's just some, they got freshman offensive linemen. And you need experience.
Boy, that's the tough one.
What I'm afraid of, like, the reason I bring up Syracuse, I want to bring up something else about Syracuse and Pitt. Remember this, AA, Syracuse and Pitt for the future, because I got another idea for them. But Dino Babers, damn it, Tino Babers had said after the COVID year, I mean, they got hammered, but they also, I mean, they've had some talent get raided in the portal or in the, you know what I mean? Because, you know, now you got NIL. And it makes me nervous because I think that team that our friend coaches has a lot of talent on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want a team like that to just be all end up being a farm system for the haves in the SEC. I don't want that to happen.
And I don't know how you stop that.
And I don't know how you stop that. And I don't know how you make that fun for any fan base out there.
You know, Syracuse is one school you mentioned. I know a little bit about their collective,
mm-hmm.
but dude, it's all basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, and even a little lacrosse.
Yes.
Like the football is just, they don't even bother. They know it's impossible.
So it bothers me. Like if you get raided, like all of a sudden you had this, like you're looking at it going, man, things could open up. We could have a 9-win season next year. And now all of a sudden you're going, well, and then this guy leaves and that guy leaves. I got another wild ass NIL idea. I didn't want to share it on Twitter because people just bomb you out for likes and retweets there. They never think. Yeah. They just want the likes and retweets. I think we are headed to, and thank God Drake May said this because people just wanted to kill Pat Narduzzi for it. And then Drake May agreed. And once Drake May agreed, it totally shut everybody down on it about the salary cap. I think we are headed for an NIL salary cap. I don't know how the hell you enforce it. I mean, I know they have compliance officers, but I still say good luck. I think we have to come up with something that might be equitable to this.
You think you can put the toothpaste back in the bottle, Ken?
No.
Genie back in the bottle?
But I think the NCAA did this by design.
You can unring that bell?
I think the NCAA did this by design. I think they went at it. I think they said they wanted to say, have at it, so they could be asked to regulate. I think if they would have pulled a little bit by a little bit by a little bit, people still would have been upset. They still would have wanted more. And then we would have got to a point where you can't go back. I think with the NCAA, ESPN, but the NCAA, ESPN, I think they want to be asked to pull back. And you got these state senators now, and I mean, Joe Manchin isn't necessarily a great example of it because I think he's full of it. But, you know, you got these people now who want to put some things in because they got constituents who are like, dude, we're going to go 7-5 every year? Is that what we're hoping to do? Is that what it is? Because, we got to chase a check. We can't get out of these conferences. So I'm hoping to go 6-6. That's my future now. It's just 6-6.
Man.
And I don't know who any of these players are, and I can't fall in love with them if they have a great true freshman year because they're going to go to Oklahoma or they're going to go to USC. So I came up with this idea right off the top of my head. Don't kill me for it. Just workshop it. You sign on the dotted line. You commit. You have committed for 2 years. You commit 2 years. And people automatically go, what about the coaches?
What about the coaches?
What about the coaches?
I just did it.
Coach gets fired. If the coach gets fired, it's open season.
Okay.
He's got to get fired.
How about if he interviews with somebody?
Hold on.
How about if he interviews?
This is my issue.
What if he's just mentioned the rumor
mill? Now, you ready for this? You ready for this? I bet a lot of I wonder if some college coaches who do listen to this podcast would like this. Your coach leaves for another job. You want to leave? Coach leaves, he's bought out. There's a buyout in his contract. There should be a buyout in your contract. I'm a wide receiver at Colorado State. I had a hell of a season. I have no idea about Colorado State. All I know is Jay Norville.
Yep.
I had a hell of a season. Iowa, Kirk Ferentz is going to go, you know what? I'm 68 years old, guys. I've had a time. That's it. Mark Stoops goes into Iowa. We got to change this offense. This offense is stuck in 1973, and we got to get the hell out of this offense. So we got to bring in some guys. I need a dude who can throw, and I need some dudes who can catch. Because honestly, Iowa, and I barely follow recruiting, Iowa doesn't even, right now they recruit at a MAC level for wide receivers. That's how bad their passing game is. And they go, hey, I want this Colorado State kid. He had a hell of a season. He can help us. All right. His NIL, I'm just using Colorado State as an example. I have no idea. I don't know if Colorado State has any NIL.
Probably not.
But they go, oh, you know what? Let me use it. Look, what's a nice mid-tier Purdue, whatever. Mm-hmm. Purdue. All right, his NIL was $67,000. His buyout is $100,000. He signed on the dotted line. The buyout is $100,000. You got to pay Purdue $100,000 so they can go out and get another player.
Or whoever the collective is.
You got to pay the collective $100,000 so they can go out and get another player and they'll let him out of that deal.
So you have to be personally
invested. I'm willing to go 3 years on it. But I know that that's probably too much.
I like the two. You know, you feel like there should be some sort of commitment.
Does that make any sense to you?
Well, it does make sense. the problem is, I don't know how you go from here, the Wild Wild West, to where it is now, to now putting limitations on
there used
it.
To be no, this is going to be a strong example. What were labor laws back in the late 1800s?
Have to start somewhere.
Yeah. There were no labor laws in the 1800s. You know, there was a lot of things that we did not have laws for that were the Wild West. And we go, no, this needs to be regulated. We need to take care of each other. We need to make sure that we make good decisions for people before anybody could smoke, anybody could drink. Now you got to be 21. Now you got to be 18. Well, okay, well, who's to say anything? And we find out that we made decisions based on people because you're not ready to smoke or drink. This is what the FDA says. And you're not ready to make your own decisions yet. You're not ready to vote. You're not ready to make your informed decision yet. And I can let it go. You sign, and because we got this bottleneck of guys who go to the transfer portal and then never end up playing again
because they're
told that the grass is greener.
So bad.
I'm looking to protect people. That's all I'm doing.
Big problem
I'm looking,
in college hoops.
And honestly, I'm looking to protect people in college. In the majority of what we talk about is college football and men's college basketball. I'm looking to protect people, but you can see this starting up in women's college basketball too. I'm looking to protect people, protect their best interests, make sure they make an informed decision if they do decide to go. And you know what? Make it equitable for the fan. Yeah, you know what? We're losing Peter Alexander, our wide receiver. The kid was a stud as a sophomore, but they got $100,000 back. Based on the buyout, and they can go ahead and they can help get themselves another player at Purdue. It's the same thing we do in college football.
So who's paying the coaches. Buyout, though?
I think it's NIL collective to NIL collective.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you want
the player. Because that's what pays for the players now, right?
You want the player bad enough, and then you'd see so much more of an investment into, right now, there's like no investment. I cover these MAC teams, okay? You got captains just leaving the team.
Middle of the season, captains.
I'm going to go somewhere else. I can't play another game because that takes a year of eligibility.
Yeah.
And it's like, is that good for the kid?
No.
Like, the kid's miserable already. It's four games. Obviously, you want the right to be able to leave at any time, but is that going to be the best for that kid ultimately? Or is that going to be another cautionary tale, and in 20 years, he's telling younger guys, don't do what I did?
When you listen to this, let's just have a dialogue, because I think some people are going to just think about it. Let me know what you think are the positives and the negatives to something like this. Let's see if we can workshop it together, everybody. Okay, send the tweets at SportsBoyTony, at Ken Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N, at Owen on the board, at Anthony Alford 92. Send them.
Don't send me any.
Okay, don't send Owen any, but send the rest of us. All right, hey, say that line again. Throw the babies out a little bit. Let's do it.
Well, think about that, Ken, is that Dino Babers is out. They threw out the Babers with the bathwater.